Good morning. If you want to turn to Psalm chapter 118, I could have picked several different verses. I mean, being thankful is throughout the Bible, but I know Gary is starting in the book of Psalms next Sunday, and so I thought, well, we'll pick a psalm out of here, one good one. And so if you want to get there, we'll get there in just a second. So good to see everybody here. If you're visiting and you haven't filled out a card before, we'd love to have you fill out a card and have a record of your attendance. There's a man in Phoenix, Arizona. He's retired, lives with his wife. And Phoenix, Arizona, 2 days before Thanksgiving, he calls his son, Mark, who happens to live in New York City. And he says, Mark, I hate to tell you, but you, my wife, you know, your mother and I, we're getting divorced. We've had enough. 48 years of misery, and it's over, it's done with. I just, you know, I just don't even hardly want it. And the son's like, Dad, are you kidding me? Where does that come from? You know, and just floored, just can't believe it. And he says, yeah, he goes, we're sick of each other, we're tired of each other, it's just a mess. And he goes, in fact, we don't even want to talk about it. Why don't you call your sister for me, because I don't even want to talk to her about it. And he just hangs up the phone. So Mark calls his sister and says, you know, hey, you'll never believe the phone call I just received. Dad said they're getting a divorce. What? You know, no, not on my watch. And so she says, I'll take care of this. She calls her dad. He says, I don't know what you're thinking. What in the world? Where did this come from? You don't do a thing. You know, I'm going to call Mark back. We're going to get on a flight. We'll be there tomorrow, and we're going to let you know all about this. We're going to talk. You promise me nothing's going to happen until we get there. Oh, fine, whatever. Hangs up. Husband looks at his wife and goes, hey, the kids are coming for Thanksgiving, and they're paying their own way. Right? Priorities. You know, we will, if you think about it, we'll do stuff, won't we? We'll find time when things get bad, or sometimes when we just think it's important. We'll always find time. We do. That's what we do best, is when things get bad sometimes, that's when we find the time. And so we're talking about these three of, this is lesson three of four lesson series on time and priorities. As I was thinking about this, you know, Thanksgiving, Memorial Day's coming up. The baskets do something really weird. We have, when I was in school at ACU, I had a class called Family Matters. Dr. Pekin taught this class, and he always said, hey, you ought to do half birthdays, or do half holidays, or do half this or half that. He goes, if you just want to find more time to be with your family, do whatever. And so one day we were sitting there talking about Memorial Day, and people do different things on Memorial Day. And I said, you know, that's funny, because it's, you know, Memorial Day is 6 months away from Thanksgiving. Let's do Thanksgiving. And so we do a Thanksgiving dinner. Karen does a Thanksgiving dinner, half Thanksgiving dinner. And turkey, dressing, you know, gravy, I mean, the whole spread. I mean, it's a massive amount of food, and it's exciting. It's a wonderful day. You know, it's the only thing is we don't have football to watch during the day. But we enjoy it, and it's just important for us to do as a family. We think it's cool. But it's not, Thanksgiving is not just at Thanksgiving. You know, the government kind of mandates it in one aspect. You know, hey, it's Thanksgiving. We're going to give you some time off. It's a national holiday. Your bosses are usually pretty nice and give you some extra time off. You work for yourself. You give yourself time off. And you focus on being thankful. You know, we get our families together, and we eat a meal together, and we, you know, watch football together, and we spend time together. And so why do we just do it once a year? Why do we have to let the government tell us that's a day that we should be thankful? We should be thankful all the time. You guys understand that. And finding time to be thankful is another one of those priorities. Alan Perkins wrote, a thankful spirit is one of the key distinguishing marks of a Christian. It sets us apart from the world. It makes us different. And so we need to do it more often. It's not just in November. All right, so let's read Psalm 118:1. I think a cappella has a song. Well, I know they have a song. I think it's a cappella. Just give thanks to the Lord, for He's good. But this is where they got it from. Give thanks to the Lord, for He's good. His love endures forever. It's a simple verse, but we should always give thanks in all circumstances. So 3 points this morning. Imagine that. We're going to have a 3-point lesson on why being thankful is important. Lesson number one, or point number one, being a thankful person increases our personal happiness. You say, well, that's kind of a selfish thing. Now, it increases our personal happiness. You're not thankful just so you get more happy. You're thankful, and that's what creates this deeper happiness. Another word for that might be joy. Many people, and I know I've touched on this before, many people think that their circumstances control their happiness. If I ask you on a scale of 1 to 10 how happy you are, you say, well, I'm a 2. You know, I got this going on, and, you know, I've got my wife not feeling good, and, you know, circumstances just aren't the way that I want. You know, no, I'm an 8. Everything's great. You know, happiness is determined by my circumstances, and that's just not true. Happiness is determined by our attitude. In fact, happiness is determined by our gratitude. It's a mental thing. I mean, I really appreciate Earl's prayer this morning, because it is. It's about what we have. Don't be focused on things that you don't have. Be thankful for what you do have. As we think about gratitude and attitude, Paul, his mentality, right? He's in prison. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I mean, that's an optimistic guy. That's a guy sitting in a prison saying, hey, I can be content in all circumstances. I found all kinds of reasons in the book of Philippians and Ephesians. I mean, we could just preach through Philippians for the next year. And Paul's optimistic attitude. The optimist sees the rose and not its thorns. The pessimist stares at the thorns, oblivious of the rose. You know, I like this one. Harry Truman said, a pessimist is one who makes difficulties of his opportunities. An optimist is one who makes opportunities of his difficulties. There's a huge different frame of mind. My favorite one is two little boys who are just getting old enough that they get to hang out together, and their parents go explore. And so they jump the fence and they go see their neighbor's farm. One of them's a pessimist and the other one's an optimist. And so they go, they find this barn, and they get all excited, and they open the barn doors, and the pessimist goes, ah, it stinks in here. There's manure everywhere. And the optimist goes, whoa, horses. There's horses somewhere around here. I'm gonna look for the horses. I mean, you can even find a silver lining in horse manure, believe it or not, if you want to look for one. And happiness is determined by our perspective, not our circumstances. Paul understood prison was not the only circumstance that he was in. He recognized that prison was just a temporary thing, that there was something going to happen better. It's just like Jim said about that song. If you can't wake up in the morning and find something to be praising God about or to be thankful about, something's probably wrong. Your perspective is wrong. So being a thankful person increases our personal happiness. And number two, being a thankful person improves our witness for Christ. It improves our witness for Christ. Because when we have a noticeable joy, when we have a thankful heart, people notice. People recognize someone when they respond differently than the world. I mean, the world is filled up enough with doom and gloom, is it not? Is it not depressing enough? Is it not dark enough that Christians need to add to that? I don't think so. We need to have this amazing positive attitude. It's sad to me how many pessimistic, negative, complaining Christians there are in the world. Okay, I'll say that again. It's sad how many pessimistic, negative, complaining Christians there are in the world. Not in here, out there, right? We don't have anybody in here, right? We don't have any of that in this place. So if you're visiting here, you found the right place. We do life together here, and we're not sour. We're not mean-spirited. We're not ungrateful. I like what one guy says, that they act like they've been baptized in vinegar instead of the Holy Spirit. And it's like, wow, we had a lady at a congregation that Karen goes, don't you dare say the name. We had a lady that was her and her husband, okay, and it wasn't in Oklahoma, so let me make sure I say that. That was one of our greeters. And I used to think, does she just wake up mad? You know, she was just in a bad mood, and she was one of our greeters. It was one of the first people would walk in, and she's like, do you need help finding where you need to sit? Do you need help finding a class? And I was like, why are we allowing this person? And I asked the elders kindly, how do we choose our greeters? Oh, we've had the same greeters for 4 years. And I was like, was there one that was actually happy at any moment in their life? Was that why they were a greeter? And now they're just not. And it was amazing to me. It was like, why would we want to go to a congregation and be greeted by somebody that's in a horrible, terrible, no good, very bad mood? You know, we need to be an exciting person, right? You know that story, Zane? Have you read that story before? All right. We need to be thankful because it changes us. It does. It changes who we are, and it changes the way people see God and see the light. Look at 1 Peter 2:12. I mean, it's a perfect verse for this morning. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Peter's saying, hey, the world needs to see something different. The world needs to look at us and go, wow, you know, the good things that we do and the positive attitudes that we have, taking time to be thankful and then living it out attracts the lost. So being thankful increases our personal happiness. Being thankful improves our witness for Christ. And number three, being a thankful person enhances our relationships, all relationships. It's going to enhance those relationships. I've got four weddings to do within the next about 6 months. Okay, and as I sometimes have extra time, I look forward in the schedule, and I read an article, and that led me to another article, and I thought, ooh, that would be really good in a wedding ceremony. And so I was looking at my wedding ceremony and thinking, where could I put that into this person's, you know, because I try and do something special for each one of these young couples. And then I noticed the one section that I always have highlighted and marked. I knew I was going to do this. I had such a great day going. And then no emotions. But in my every ceremony, I ask a question to those who've been married 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. What advice would you give to a younger couple? And usually the first thing, which I asked Joe that, and Joe on cue said, just learn how to say yes, ma'am. You know? And that's kind of the tongue-in-cheek answer. But then the answer that I almost always get is never take your spouse for granted. Never take the person that you care about for granted. We talked about that a little in class this morning. So my advice to these young couples and my advice to anybody listening, don't take anybody for granted. You know, those relationships that you have in your life, it doesn't have to be, you know, a husband or a wife relationship. It can be a best friend relationship. It can be somebody that you work with relationship. We do. We take each other for granted. In fact, familiarity breeds contempt. That's an old phrase that used to be said years ago. But the reality is that we forget to be thankful. We forget to remember to take the time to be thankful for the people that we care about the most. And it's common not only among husbands and wives, but among everybody else. We just flat get familiar with one another. And so don't do that. You know, take the time to be thankful. Somebody described the first year in marriage and said it this way. The husband, seeing the wife has a cold, first year of marriage, says, oh, babe, you don't look so good. We're going to go to the hospital. I went outside. I warmed the car up for you. I know you don't like hospital food, so I went ahead and found a caterer. We'll bring the food to the hospital. Babe, we're going to take care of you, okay? That's the first year, Lisa, okay? Second year, he says, oh, babe, you don't look so good. I've called the doctor. Go lay down. I mean, the doctor will be here in a little bit. Don't worry about it. Fifth year of marriage. You know, you're not looking so hot, babe. When you're done feeding the kids and cleaning the kitchen, you ought to go lay down. Right? 10th year of marriage. What are you doing walking around here? You're going to give me your cold. Go get out of here. Right? I mean, it just evolves. Oh, baby, sweet. You know, Karen and I have been here about 6, 7 months, right? So we're still in the honeymoon stage. You know, this is a wonderful, thankful place. You guys are complimentary. You're kind. You know, I just wonder, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now, well, that was the worst sermon I've ever heard. Boy, you spoke too long. Man, you're too loud. Your jokes absolutely stink. Actually, people have already told me that, but I already knew that, right? So, but you know, we do, don't we? As we kind of get to know each other a little bit better, we have a tendency to, you know, speak our mind a little more. And we just need to be a more thankful people. We need to understand how much thankfulness will change everything. So husbands, imagine how much better your relationship would be if you thanked your wife every once in a while. Maybe today. That'd be a good time. Go buy her something nice. You know, bring her chocolates home. Maybe a massage. Wow. Write a nice note. I think we can start looking at relationships and all of a sudden go, wow, when's the last time I bought a card? Or when's the last time I did something nice for my wife? Okay? No pressure. No pressure, guys. All right? But we need to be thankful. Wives, we need to be thankful to our husbands. How much better would our relationship be if we're reminded, of what we have and how thankful we are? So, yeah, wives, you can do... Zane got some zingers going? Yeah, I'm thinking. He's clearing the room. That's all right, yeah. But is it not important? And kids, how much better would your relationships be with your parents if you thanked your folks every once in a while for the time they spend and the meals they fix and all of those things? We talked about that in class today, to just, you know, take time to be thankful. It's so very important. And some of you are saying, well, I'm not married, I don't have kids around me. Take the time to thank those in your life. Take the time to thank those employees, or take the time to thank your employer, to thank the person that checks you out. Not checks you out in that way, but checks you out in the line at Walmart. The younger ones are all going, checks you out? No way, that's creepy. The one that pays your, or whatever. Find a way, right? Find a way to be thankful. Find a way to be thankful. It's interesting, really, really, really cool to me how Paul began many of his letters. I mean, if you go and you read Paul, Romans chapter 1, verse 8, to the church in Rome, he says, first, I thank my God for all of you. I mean, that's how he starts that letter out. To the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 1, 4, I always thank God for you. Do I need to stop? Was that my time? Just kidding. Don't worry, I have my phone, and I didn't turn it down either. I was thinking, man, if somebody calls me, I'm gonna answer it and just be like, hey, I'm preaching right now. What do you want to talk about? Ephesians 1, 16. The church in Ephesus, I have not stopped giving thanks to you, remembering you in my prayers. Philippians 1:3, I thank my God every time I remember you. Colossians 1:3, I always thank God when I pray for you. Philippians, I thank you. I thank you. I'm thankful for you. How much better would the church be if we would not dwell on each other's faults, but just thank each other a lot? You know, Kelly, thanks for doing a great, you know, lesson on the book. Funny. I jinxed it. I just said that too. Oh, Luke, you jog. That was good. That was good. I was like, Luke Thompson. Like, yeah. All right, hold it. Hold it. I'm going to take the time to turn my phone down. Thank you very much. That was good. That was good. See, that's what it's about. That's what it's about. Loving on each other, taking the time to find ways. Look at Hebrews 12:25. Oh, that was so funny. I was like, what are the odds? Do we have that? Shane, I think we got that. There we go. Perfect. Well, that's, yeah, I gave a shorter version of that. But see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. I got the wrong verse. Which one do I have? Not what I was looking for. I don't know what I have. I probably gave it to you wrong, Jim. Sorry. Sometimes I write my own verses wrong. whatever this verse is in Hebrews says, let us please God by serving Him with thankful hearts. So God says, hey, you want to please me? I want your service and your praise, but you know, do it with a thankful heart. Not just me, but thank everyone else. I think that's so important. And of course, thanking God who gives us everything is a big part of this. Dr. Dale Robbins wrote this. I used to think people complained because they had a lot of problems. But I've come to realize they have problems because they complain. Complaining doesn't change anything. It doesn't make any situations better. It amplifies your frustration. It spreads discontent. It spreads discord. And can invoke an invitation for the devil to even cause havoc in your life. That's what complaining does. Believe it or not, complaining can make us miserable. Psalm 77:3, which I know there's no slide for this, says, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed because of that complaining. I do a lesson, and I'm sure I'll do it in here one of these days and teach that. But there's an opposite lesson. You know, things that are opposites, things that are just absolutely contrary to one another. And one of those things is comparison is the enemy of contentedness. You know, to be content is a good thing until I start comparing, right? Again, kind of what Earl said in his prayers. I start saying what I have, and then I go, well, I'm pretty content until I go, oh, well, wait a minute, I don't have. You know, I think it's great that we talk about, oh, I got a great car, and they come up with a brand new model. Oh, my car's not so great anymore. So I'm content until I start comparing. I thought my kitchen cabinets looked pretty doggone good until I saw that DIY show. You know, I bet your pergola looked pretty good until you saw mine. Right? I mean, and that's all of a sudden. Hey, we already talked about it. That's a private conversation between me and Jim. We compare. And when we compare, we're no longer content. Well, let me tell you something. The exact same thing is true of complaining and thankfulness. Because if you're thankful, it's hard to complain. And I do it all the time. It's my repentant note. It's on my car if you go out there right now. I complain about the traffic signals in this town. They drive me crazy. Okay? Do what? I know. And trip it? I know. It coming from two different places where if you analyze it just right, you can drive the exact speed. You can go all the way across town. Because you can time the lights. Not in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. In fact, at 4 o'clock in the morning, I can be the only person. And if a low-flying bat gets in front, it changes the light. And I sit there and go, I hate this place. And I complain. And the other day, Curry was like, Dad, stop. And I went, you don't understand. It drives me. So, I said, you know what? Philippians 2:13. I memorized this verse, and I don't know how in the world I ever didn't think, okay, man, did I miss this one too? It can't be right. Oh, that's the back side of it. This says, did I just do a horrible job with my verses? This says, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and deprived or depraved generation, shining like stars in the universe. Quit complaining. Do everything. So I thought, you know what? I complain about those traffic lights. So now I replaced my complaining with thankfulness. Don't know if my family noticed that or not. But I put this bright yellow sticky note when I get in the door. And so this was my first prayer coming to work Monday morning. And I stopped at a light that I should have had to stop at. And I said, oh, Lord, I am so thankful for this extra minute and a half I have to spend with you. I would like to be traveling down the road, but I'm stopped here thinking about you. Thank you for that. Right? Very sarcastically. But now when I stop, I think I'm going to be praying and I'm going to be thanking God that I have a car. And I'm going to thank God that I have a job to go to. And I'm going to, you know, just like my intro, if you didn't get to see the weekly invite, you know, I thank God that I got to park way out in the parking lot because that means I can walk all the way into the building. You know, I thank God that I'm mowing this yard. I got a yard. I'm cleaning the gutters out. I got gutters, you know. Oh, I hate this heating bill. I got a house to live in. You know, there's a thankfulness for everything, if you'll find it. And so God says, you know, take the time to be thankful. We live in America. We live in Oklahoma. We live in Broken Arrow. It is amazing the blessings that we have. So instead of taking the time to complain, take the time to praise God instead. Use those moments when you hit that red light to be like, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful bird that just flew by. Whatever it takes. Ephesians 5:19. See if I got one verse right. Ah, I did. All right. Ephesians 5:19 says, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Different version. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. Always. You know what's sad? Is a lot of times we come to Ephesians 5:19 and we want to beat somebody over the head and say, this is why we sing a cappella. No, that's not what that verse was even written for. He says, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. So in all times, in all matters, in all circumstances, I need to be singing and praising God. I need to be giving Him thanks because of what I have and be reminded to take the time to be thankful. Thanksgiving is not just in November. It's also on Memorial Day at the Basket's House, but it should be for all of us a time in which we thank the Father each day. I love this song. Are we singing this one, Jim? Did we find the request? Great, and I didn't know if we had it or not. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. I look at just what we have, the life that we live. And there are times when I'm a complainer. Don't even know why. We're so blessed. And I know some of you are in different situations, and I know that it's tough. But try and find that thankfulness. You know, this is such a temporary place. And we have a hope of something so much better. And we look forward to that time. I don't know if you have any needs this morning. We're going to sing a song. But I would love for you to be reminded of the relationships that you have, the people in your life to be thankful for. And make a difference this week. And